with Africa Milani.
Lee Vandenberg is the City of Cape Town Manager for Transport Regulation, here to talk to us about permits and the process of applying for permission to operate as, to drive rather, and be part of the e-hailing service that is now available in Cape Town. Lee, lovely to have you on the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mel. Africa.
Let's start perhaps at the beginning, shall we? What is the process that Africa Milani would have to follow if I am keen on either having my car in the e-hailing service, or I'm a driver who's employed by somebody who owns a car in the e-hailing service?
Okay, these are two different processes. Obviously, in terms of legislation, the person that holds the operating license, I know people refer to them as a permit, but it's actually an operating license. The owner of that operating license must also be the owner of the vehicle. So if Africa Milani wants to apply for an operating license, you also have to have a vehicle that you can link or to that operating license to give effect to the operating license. That's one of the key factors of why a lot of the drivers or operators cannot, what we refer to as uplift the operating license, because the vehicle do not belong to them, or it's a friend's vehicle or a family vehicle or so forth. So the process would be that you will have to be with one of the e-hailing platform providers. We currently in Cape Town have about 13 of those. There are two major ones and then some smaller ones that either specialize. There are two companies in particular that specialize in women drivers only, so they cater for a very particular niche market in the e-hailing industry. And you register with them, they will take you, because we've got a process that we follow with them where we tell them all the, or we indicate to them all the documents that we require for an applicant to apply. There's a process where they obtain all those documents, and through the Google Cloud system, we then download that information from our site, and we will then provide the person, once they qualify, with what we refer to as a provisionally support letter, and then that letter that person will take to the provincial regulatory entity and then formally apply for the operating license.
All right, and I certainly appreciate that what happens then at the provincial entity is outside of your purview. Many of the calls I've been getting, Lee, have been to a snarl up in your process, where they've submitted all the paperwork. They are now waiting for the city to approve or not approve, and if approved, to then have them go on with the application with the provincial entity. Is there a snarl up, and what are some of the causes for that snarl up within the city's processes?
If it is a bit of an anomaly, because once they submit the documents to their e-hailing platform provider, I mean, we then get the list and we work according to this, and we then start issuing the letters. The letters are given to the back to the company, and that company or platform provider will then issue the letters to the different operators that applied. You must also keep in mind that we require the companies, the platform providers, to provide us with a business plan. So we will then agree with that particular e-hailing platform provider. You will get X number of operating licenses, which those operators that sign up with you and operate via your platform will then be eligible to get. Now, with one of the bigger companies, they have reached that quota or that number, so we cannot give them any more operating licenses, or we cannot support any more operating licenses. But for the smaller companies, there are. The e-hailing operating license also, or the support for an e-hailing operating license, does not restrict an operator to just solely work with one e-hailing platform provider. Once you've got an e-hailing operating license and we support that, and you've gone through the process and it was approved by the provincial regulated entity, you can operate on one or two or three or as many platforms as you wish to operate on. And that is the phenomenon that is happening currently in the industry, because the market is a bit oversaturated, and that is why we restrict the numbers. And is that most of the operators are on different platforms. So whoever hails them through whatever platform, they will then take that call and then act on that call and then take the person. So it is very important to understand that there's a limitation in terms of numbers that we will support for each particular company. They've presented to us a business case, we approve the business case, and we will take it on the review once that number is reached, or when we as the City of Cape Town feels that there is a need for any more operating licenses. We're also waiting for the outcome of the Competition Commission's inquiry 2 years ago about competition and how the e-hailing fits in within the bigger public transport system. They dealt with many other issues in terms of public transport as well during that inquiry, but one key one would be how the whole e-hailing environment fits within the public transport industry and how the regulation and the competition thereof should be dealt with. Should it be a free-for-all issue of the licenses like Smarties, or should you contain the numbers and keep it limited to make sure that there is sustainable work for everybody that is in the system?
All right, so what I'm hearing then is that your end of the process is efficient and you do what you need to do. If there are any drivers who are driving on an e-hailing service and claim to not have a permit, it's possibly because the e-hailing service that they are driving for has reached that quota, and therefore there aren't any more available permits to be issued for drivers who are using that e-hailing service.
Yes. And what drivers also do, or operators do, is they start operating without going through any process or being on any platform. They would then phone us, and I mean, they write to the Premier or the Mayor or the Maker member or the MEC saying that just, they can't obtain an operating license. And when we then investigate, they're not even on any of one of the lists. So the first port of call is to go and register. But you should not be operating. I mean, the same like a minibus taxi operator or staff services operator or a meter taxi operator should not operate unless you've got the appropriate operating license in place. Now, what happens is they preempt the process and start operating, get impounded, and then get frustrated because the process now takes too long. Now you're with a particular service provider or a platform provider that has reached its quota or its number, and now we can't support you anymore. Or there's a limited number that we are looking at, and now you're sitting in that, for argument's sake, we agreed to 2,000 licenses, now you're number 2,001, and you're going to sit in number 2,001 until there is a decision that there is a market or there's a need for more vehicles to be legalized, and then you will go into the next system. It's a very competitive industry. I mean, and one must also understand is that the operational model of the e-hailing platform providers and that of the operators are two completely different things. The operator himself has got no choice as to the tariff he's got to charge. He must pay over between 17% and 25% of his income over to the e-hailing platform provider. So he's got limited control over his profitability and his sustainability and as what he can do. Where the opposite is true for the e-hailing provider. Whether there's one vehicle doing all the trips or there's 1,000 vehicles doing all the trips, they make that 17% to 25% that they cap off the fees that they get in. Just think for yourself, if there's one operator operating and there's 1,000, what are you doing with the profitability of the one in terms of the 1,000? So you can cut the cake into 10, 100, and 1,000. But by the time you get to 1,000, the cake is so very small that it's not profitable for that poor person to make a profit. And that is the role of government, is we must make sure that we don't set up people for failure. And people ask, but why? I said, well, why is there a National Credit Act? Why don't we just let people borrow money and buy cars and houses until the bank repossessed all and declare them bankrupt? No, we unfortunately as government need to protect an operator in this particular instance against themselves and limit the numbers so that we ensure that the model and that the operation that is there is a sustainable one. Now, the big anomaly is that we look at it differently than what the e-hailing service providers or platform providers look at it, because they look at a 2-minute or 3-minute or 5-minute time in which they can get to a particular person to pick the person up, but that does not particularly mean or necessarily mean that that is a sustainable model for the poor person that must sit there and wait on a corner for be there within 4 minutes.
Lee, let me ask then this question. What responsibility do those e-hailing service companies have to make sure that any and all drivers who are offering a service to poor me, Africa Melanie's citizen in Cape Town, is one, legally documented and otherwise to be on that platform, and yes, two, has met all of the regulatory requirements that both the city and the province have on that driver?
That is indeed correct. I mean, you must... So just said, if you're with the company, you can be registered with them. They will get all your papers in, and then we'll take you through a process to legalize you. That will be your first port of call, because that company tells us there's a need for this number of vehicles, these number of people are on our list, and we will then regulate those number of people.
Let me be clearer perhaps in my question. There are drivers currently driving on the road who, as you alluded to, for example, have not even begun the process of applying, but they're already providing the service. Yes. What obligation does that e-hailing service company have to make sure that that driver is not on the road on their platform when they have not even done the necessary work to actually apply for the process?
The simple answer is that person should not be operating on their platform whatsoever if they don't have the required documentation in place or an operating license. The amendments to the National Land Transport Act is actually going to deal very harshly with that. That's a proposed amendment where a service provider, e-hailing platform provider, will be fined R100,000 per vehicle that is allowed to operate on the platform without the necessary operating license. So that is how far national government is now taking it to ensure that the e-hailing service providers, the platform providers, actually comply with legislation and make sure that the person that gets into a vehicle gets into a legal vehicle that's got the necessary documentation and operating license to do so.
Because at the moment, it's only the drivers who traffic officials and metro cops will catch on roads in Cape Town, see that they're operating without the necessary paperwork, impound their vehicles, who are really feeling the pinch, right? Not the e-hailing service companies who may declare oblivion to the fact that people are operating without the necessary paperwork.
Yes. No, they, I mean, if... For argument's sake, we live in a world of technology. So if I'm an e-hailing service provider, platform provider, I can just switch you off from the platform if I know all your documentation is not in place and you don't have the required PRDP, vehicle registration, and operating license that is required in terms of providing a public transport service. So it's a flick of a switch or a press of a button that you can do. So to claim ignorance or say I'm completely abused as to the fact that these people are operating, they operate on your platform. How else do they get hailed by Africa Milani to come and pick him up wherever he is standing on a corner to be picked up? So they provide that link between the passenger and the operator. And you need to control that and ensure that and be responsible to make sure that your operator and your driver, whichever the case may be, because there's a difference between a driver and an operator. It might be an operator with 5 operating licenses, but he might have 5 drivers, but the driver might also be an operator who's only got 1 license. So there's a bit of just a clarification we need to make there. And then that is the view of government, is that you must act responsibly and make sure that whoever drives your vehicle or is subscribed to your platform has got all the documents and the licensing in place.
Fair enough. Parting question, how many operating licenses is the City of Cape Town deeming the adequate amount for e-hailing services to be operating in Cape Town?
Well, at the moment, we are busy developing a demand model to determine that specific number. What we've just coincidentally, again, we've had 3 companies coming to see us, one being the Russian version of e-hailing company, very well-known e-hailing companies in the world, and they out of their own accord without we even started the meeting, because whenever they start wanting to meet with me, I think you're going to ask me for licenses. They said, your market is oversaturated. You've got way too many people operating on your e-hailing platforms, and not a sustainable model. And we as the government are of the same view. We've heard that from the drivers. We've heard that during the submissions of the competition commissions, that we need to put a cap. Even New York, that was the city that was the forerunner with allowing e-hailing licenses and e-hailing operators just to willingly operate in the area, has now capped the number. Big cities have capped the number. You cannot exponentially and ad infinitum just continue to issue operating licenses. It's not sustainable for those people that operate. So we are not in the space. We have got a number of I just need to check on my I think we've agreed to about 2,500 that we will allow in terms of the e-hailing space, because also remember we have got the traditional meter taxi industry that has also now swapped over to using e-hailing platforms to hail for their passengers. They're completely allowed to do that in terms of the provisions of their operating license. So that is sort of the number that we are looking at, about 2,500-3,000 at this point in time, until we finalize the demand model. The demand model will look at waiting times and all sorts of other things that we normally look at, and we will then take it from there.
And out of those 2,500 permits, how many are still available for grab?
The biggest company has reached their quota. There is about, I would say about 1,000 left that can still be taken up. But the take-up process is very slow. People tell us they forgot to go and uplift the license. They don't have a vehicle. And unfortunately, the whole process, and that's also where a big misunderstanding is, for an operating license, from the time the city gives the go-ahead till the time you can physically uplift, there's a 6-month lapse. So if that person, we give him a letter now to say, listen, Africa Milani, you can start operating, you can go and apply for your operating license. The whole legal process, which allows you to apply, go through the advertising, and to uplift, is a period of 6 months. So until the last day of the 6 months lapsed, I cannot say, oh, sorry, but Africa Milani is not uplifting his license. I must wait until that time. So come that last day and you don't uplift, then I can say, okay, African Milani did not uplift his operating license, leave the bus, not uplift his operating license, we can make another two available for the next lot to apply for. So it's a very onerous and long process, but unfortunately it's prescribed legislative time frames we need to stick to, and that is how we slowly release. And that's also why people think we are taking our time. We have to wait until the person we've given the opportunity to apply for an operating license has followed the full process through. And at the end of that process, if he or she did not follow the process through, we can then say, okay, he or she is most probably not interested. We will then look at the next batch of people that we can then support.
Which makes absolute sense. Lee, thank you very much. That was quite a comprehensive conversation, which obviously will be available on our website, capetalk.co.za. Lee Vandenberg is the manager for transport regulation with the City of Cape Town.